Hi, everyone. This is Martin Willis of the Antique Auction Podcast, and I'm in York Beach, Maine, and I'm with some two old comrades of mine, Howard Coppell, I mentioned earlier in another podcast. Hi, Howard. How you doing?
Fine, Martin. So nice to have you back on the East Coast today.
Well thank you. And also Rick Mace. How you doing, Rick?
Good, Martin. Nice to see you again.
Yeah. So here we are in York, Maine. We're in Howard Coppell's house along the beach, and it's full of beautiful Victorian furniture, paintings, and great place. And you got all that legitimately, right, Howard?
Right on. Yeah. Been collecting for, you know, years.
Yeah.
Before it was popular.
Before it was popular.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So what got you started, Howard, in the collecting?
Actually, I was in office furniture in Hartford, Connecticut back in the 60s, and all the oak furniture was coming out of the insurance companies. Travelers at Connecticut Mutual, all the blue chip companies. And, mm-hmm. you know, it was trash, basically. They were converting to metal. And it was attractive and started selling oak files and oak chairs and all, you know, like that. So mm-hmm. just started, you know, gee, I like that chair, I like that file, I like this, and just gathering it. And
so that's why you always knew, like, when I talked to you about a desk, you'd say it's a 60 by something.
60 by 30 in my sleep.
Yeah.
I put them together. I started in the back room doing setup and deliveries and worked my way into selling and sales, and then I was into management and then CEO of the firm. But it was a heck of a transition back then.
And that's what started you as a collector?
Yeah, basically it was a good solid piece of wood, better than what you could buy at that point in time.
Yeah.
And it was cheap because we were getting it basically through the business, and I was able to take it home and, you know, use it and reuse it.
Do you still have any of those early pieces?
Well, you're sitting at them.
Okay.
You're looking at them. Actually, yeah. That's why I say, and this was all, and then people, it became popular, and I started refinishing and selling.
When? What timeline was this? When was this?
60s through mid-70s.
Yeah, yeah, you were ahead
of
your time.
And then I came up here, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
well, I used to buy from your dad. I'd come up on
right.
Thursday night auctions and haul back to Hartford.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that. Long time. And Rick Mace. Now, Rick, what I remember about you is my father was selling in your aunt's estate, and you worked that auction, and then you stuck, right? Is that...
Yeah, he asked me to stick around. That was when I was young and strong and was able to lift things without hurting my back, and just became part of the crew on the Thursday night circuit. And I was furnishing my house at the time, and that was the thing to do, go to auctions and buy furniture when you could afford to buy things.
Now, you had a grocery store, like when you were really, you bought a grocery store.
Had a grocery store and used the auctions to buy advertising items to decorate the store with, and...
But didn't you buy that store when you were, like, really young, too?
Right out of college.
Yeah.
And ran that for 10 years. And then, in the meantime, I started the antique business on the side and competed with Howard. and, of course, as we got older and decrepit, we figured we'd better join forces and work together.
Instead of against
and
each other.
And so we have.
Yeah. Now, I said earlier, you always, in the business, everybody always wants to talk about high-end and, you know, all that stuff. But you guys are sort of on the other end of the scale.
You can say low-end. Is that right?
Okay.
We're not bottom feeders. We have people we call after we're done,
oh.
If you can imagine that.
Oh, so it's not at the very, very
no,
bottom.
No, we're a yeah. step or two above.
Step or two above the bottom.
And we know it, but that's the field, and it's no stress. You know, once in a while we stumble upon something in a house. We just finished one. We try to tell the people. They weren't really interested. They just wanted the money now. So we oblige. But we do tell them because this is a small area and you have to maintain one thing is your integrity and really your honesty. And we, both of us, do that. We tell the people right up front, you know, If they want to wait, we can broker it through an auction and get them more money. If they want to just turn it over, this is what we'll do.
Mm-hmm. So. Now, you do you go in houses after another auctioneer has been there?
Yeah. We go. Sometimes we're fortunate to go before. Sometimes we, most of the time it's after. You know, we work with a few. And then we have a couple of, believe it or not, auctioneers who pick from us.
Mm-hmm.
And we send it, you know, off to auction. So we're in an area where really nobody wants to be, because everybody wants to be either at the top, and nobody wants to be at the bottom where we are. But it's a niche. So
yeah, and you have a shop right on Route 1, busy Route 1 in New York, Maine.
Yes.
And you're open by chance type of thing?
We're open by rec, we call it.
By chance or appointment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Usually try to open on weekends and...
Yeah.
You know, when we make the rent, we shut the door.
All right. I
can't
like that.
You don't want too much.
You don't want to make a profit.
No, no. We can't show a profit.
Yeah.
No.
Can't show. So I talked to Ed Nadeau recently, your name came up. I brought it up that we were a mutual acquaintance. And I said that you have to, if you're within a 50-mile radius of Howard Coppell, you know him. So how do you get your business... How do you get your business?
Well, referral. Rick, in fact, got a phone call, and the woman said, you know, he asked how they got our name, and a friend of Rick's, and then a friend of, you know, mine, or somebody we work for will tell it, or through real estate agents. You know, we do cleanouts, too.
So it's the best word of mouth is basically what it is.
Basically here, it's the only way to work, really.
Yeah.
Really.
It's a small town, and it's a seasonal town.
Yes.
So this time of year, you're real slow?
Well, you can see it. What's it doing outside, Martin?
It's
you don't
snowing
see this in
right
California.
Now.
Right. It's snowing here in Maine. We call it Maine sunshine.
This little, is Maine.
Yeah,
this is good
is
as it gets.
Sunshine.
Yeah.
This is it.
But it's pretty.
It
outside.
Is. It's a great, and it's a great area, and the people are great, and you still have a lot of hidden treasures in the area.
Oh, yeah.
What's
yeah, generational.
Now, what's funny now is everybody wants the stuff that we were selling back in the 60s, the Knoll, the Herman Miller,
sure.
The Chrome. I mean,
it's hot everywhere.
Victorian is. Gone.
Yeah, I talked to one of the podcasts I had earlier in Colorado, and I posed that question to him: is mid-century modern hot in Colorado? And he didn't really elaborate on that. So I don't, you know, I think it mostly is in all parts of the country, except I don't know about the Midwest if that's true or not. California, it's definitely true, and it was kind of all the things that I turned down are the things that are selling for money. I never took them for auction and. Nope. Now that's the only thing that's selling at auction.
No, but someday IKEA
together.
Will be.
People
will
be buying
right.
IKEA. You know that furniture companies won't even move IKEA furniture?
Really?
Because they're afraid it'll fall apart?
Right, yeah.
So I shouldn't be bashing IKEA on that podcast. I'll probably edit this out. Maybe not.
Well, no, it's the truth. We looked at stuff last night, and, you know, it looked good. Did that dresser. You know, that bedroom set, gee whiz, we walk into the room, it was oak, you know, it looked solid as a rock. I said to Rick, look at this. I touched the dresser, and the whole thing moved, and the back was what, cardboard?
Coming right back.
Stapled, coming apart.
Mm-hmm. That's the way it's going to be for a while, I think. Yeah. I mean, for new furniture. But...
And it was so bad, we didn't even buy it.
Oh, my God. So the next one down, the next level down might buy it, may or may not?
Might have to give it to the thrift shop, Rick suggested.
Yeah. So, let's see. What do we want to talk about?
Well, he should mention the name of his company, at least.
Oh, yes. Is it Lawson?
Lawson Found Antiques.
Antiques?
Yeah. Been around since 1982.
Rick and Mary right. Mace.
Did you know that there's Lawson Found Antiques in Berkeley?
Really?
There is, yes. I took a card from the guy who was just about ready to go out of business when I went in there. And speaking of that, you know, all these shops are going out of business all over the country. You know, it's everywhere, the single-owner shops. But when you keep your overhead as low, I mean, I've been in your shop, and it looks like you have pretty low overhead. If I'm
got much low. We've been in the basement.
We have lights.
You have lights.
We have auxiliary heating.
Does that mean like a plug-in heater?
Well, we have a little kerosene heater.
Oh, kerosene.
Now you gas yourself for 1 or 2 hours.
You get a little sick in there. Yeah.
Well, you leave the window open.
Like a space heater, like for construction?
Yeah.
Well, a little bit better than that. Yeah. In fact, on a day like today, we'd probably leave the door open. It would warm.
It's warmer outside than inside?
Yeah.
How about that? Yeah. And I was through there, and I noticed every single item was priced. Now, it looks like you have about 1,000 items in there or so, maybe. maybe more.
You can buy something for a dollar, or you can spend a few hundred dollars. Oh. It's hard to break the habit of the grocery store and placing everything and keeping everything in order.
Do you rotate your stock?
we rotate it in and out.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do that. Yeah.
Sometimes you can buy five items for a dollar, too, if you're really sharp.
Make the group lot?
It depends what time of the month. In the beginning of the month, we're not...
Oh, when rents,
yes, the two of us get very ambitious.
Yeah. Now, you're right on Route 1, and you're in Cape Kinetic or York, Maine?
No, actually, we're still in York.
Still in York, right?
Yeah, right on the border of Cape Kinetic. Yeah. And do you have a sign out front? You don't. Do you have a website?
No, actually, we can't have a sign because the town has codes, and the signage is maxed out on site.
Okay, so how would someone...
a portable sign.
A portable sign.
We take the chair out that says open. We take the chair that says we're not open. No, that's what you have to do here in York because of the code enforcement.
We share the parking lot with two other businesses, Family Tree Antiques, which is a group shop.
Oh, yeah.
And Maritime Antiques, which is an auction company.
Chuck
DeLuca. And so we pick up business from their customers, so...
By mistake.
They're your anchor store.
They're our anchor store.
Yeah, I see.
That's right.
Yeah. So, Rick, you grew up in Maine, but northern Maine, is that right?
No, not too far from here.
But you're a Mainer.
Lebanon, Maine, right?
Yeah. Lebanon, Maine. Oh, yeah.
That's almost part of New Hampshire, though.
That's right.
So it's a border town.
Uh-oh. Yeah. There's that saying about the farmer that was in, you heard of
right.
that?
He didn't like the Maine winters.
Yeah, and his place was on the border of Maine and New Hampshire, so, yeah.
And they redid the line, so he said, thank God, because I couldn't
stand
another
Maine,
winters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you guys, have you guys been affected in a good way with this bad economy? I mean, a lot of people... You know, I would think maybe on the very lower end, it might maybe a good thing.
I think we have more opportunities to buy right now, and people are looking for bargains. So we're able to buy cheap and still sell cheap, which is okay.
It's used furniture. You can't kid yourself at this point in time. Very little, I think, to be honest, is antique. You could maybe classify it as collectible with small stuff, but... Most of the furniture, you know, the tables and chairs, aside from the occasional oak or Victorian or the walnut piece, you know, it's used furniture.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, I was in there last year, and you had some antiques in there.
It's changed.
You progressed.
I don't know if we've...
We have a couple of curved front, you know, curio cabinets that you consider an antique. We have an oak round oak table, you know, that sits there and
got that warm
collects dust, and an oak dresser, you know, Eastlake oak dresser.
Got a signed Hitchcock bureau, beautiful, beautiful four drawer, graduated drawer. Hitchcock,
how about that? Yeah,
one of a kind. Only in York.
Now, Rick, I remember a long time ago you were. You cleaned out someone's house and you thought they had nothing, and we opened up a trunk you brought, and there was some beautiful early Native American pieces.
That came out of a Kittery house. They were insulating the attic, and they needed all the junk taken out of the attic, and it was one of these 2-foot-wide stairways that went up there, and all these steamer trunks that were full of what they thought was junk. And so I ended up giving them a price on all the trunks and...
All the junk.
And hauled them all down and got them to my garage. And the first thing I do is call you.
I
remember, I said, Martin, I think we got something here.
And I remember you did. That stuff did pretty well.
It did really well. Really well.
Well, we had that bureau we found in the closet.
Closet up on the Neville, right?
Yeah, and the guy was using it as tools in a closet.
Mm-hmm.
And when we pulled it out, it had the whiteboard back and, you know, beautiful chamfered and dovetailed. And he attributed it to somebody and... We didn't know, you know what I mean?
Sold for almost $1,000, I think, at auction,
Can't beat that.
No, but we were very fortunate because Rick's sitting here will tell you, we don't buy something normally for $1,000 and wind up getting $500.
Yeah.
Fortunately, sometimes it's the other way around. We don't know. I mean, in all honesty, you know, don't have to edit that out. But really don't know. We don't have that knowledge, but we see it, we like it, we buy it.
Yeah.
Sometimes it turns good, and sometimes it turns bad, but we're not in it where we're...
You're never in it too high. I remember one time I had a Guy Wiggins painting go through my auction, and everyone wanted to know where it came from, and I called the woman that bought it, and I said, where did you get it? Everyone wants to know where it came from, and she said, well, I bought it at a yard sale, and I go, wow, good for you, and what did you pay for it, just out of curiosity? She goes, well, I never have more than $20 on me. So she had no idea when she bought it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, people name a price at a yard sale, and unfortunately, it's fair game. It's unfortunate for them, but they're not seeing the last dollar of it. But.
And I got to be honest with you, after all these years, I'm not a student of the arts or the antiques, and we just buy what we like. But when you tell somebody that, they really don't believe you.
Sure.
They think you have a motive or, you know, some. But I don't. If I like it, I'll buy it, because then I can live with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If it don't sell, and people don't believe
the thing, the thing with us is that we don't make a living at this. We just do it because we have
it's
fun.
It's a hobby.
It's a hobby, and it's fun, and we have a good time, a few laughs. And a lot of the times, you know, when we're buying stuff, it's labor-intensive because we are doing clean-outs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so you have to take your time into account, you know.
Sure.
Not just picking up one or two pieces, you know. You're spending a lot of time, you know, on the project. So.
Tell you a quick situation. There's a guy similar... to what you do, very, very similar in California. And he does all these clean-outs for places, basically does clean-outs. And he'll stop over. He stopped over with a truck full of some mid-century modern, and he said, is this junk worth anything? And it was really unusual. Whoops. I guess that's okay.
To whom the bell tolls. It tolls for the...
So, anyway, he came by, and there was all these... like pigskin covered case furniture, and ended up being this. Now I said, so what did you pay for all this? And he said, well, I charged the people $800 to clean it up because, and he honestly thought he had nothing but junk. And I said, bring it all, bring it all. Yeah. He, after commission and the auction, he got a check for $97,000, and he had no idea that he was on his way. He said, if you don't want it, I'm going to take it somewhere else.
Take it to the dump.
It wasn't the dump, but it was going to be. So I just happened to be there that day when he came in. And so those things happen. And, you know, when someone buys or gets things in an honest fashion and trying to do a good deed and you don't know, you can feel, you don't have to feel any remorse over making tons of money.
It's fair game. Just like in an auction, you know, I've watched people bid on stuff. It's not misrepresentative, but the auctioneer says could be, would be, should be, looks like, and people get and buy it. And it turns out I was at a shop here, and a woman brought in a little attaché, and she was all over it. She bought it at a very prominent auction house up Maine, or down Maine.
Down east. Down east.
And
has to do with the wind patterns. Yeah.
And the shop owner looked at it and said, it's a reproduction. Well, her chin dropped. Up the road, and she argued vehemently that, you know, she was at this auction and house, and, but again, it was never, you know, could be, would be, you know, like we always sell in kid, you know, it's oak, it's tree wood. That's the only guarantee we make, it's tree wood.
Well, in the 1960s, they did a bunch of upholstered furniture, Victorian reproduction, and even when you list it, this is in California, but even when you list it as 1960s, you know, reproduction. You can tell by the jig carving. It's very, you know, very prominent. It's not hand carved.
Yeah, it
detail.
Doesn't have the roughness.
People pay exactly the same amount for it as old Victorian, which isn't a lot. I mean, but I mean, an armchair can go for $200, even though it's 1960. And so that the difference between California and Maine is, or New England in general, is it's almost like a boutique mentality in California. If it looks good, people buy it, you know. And I don't know if that's changed. Is it that way out here, or is it still the same pure, the Puritan buying?
Well, I think it's the Puritan, you know, when you have, you know, the Hatmore's auctions and McGinnis's auctions, that's the people flock for that stuff, you know what I mean? And you have those, the pure people and the pure collectors and the pure dealers.
There was someone had told me when I was out west that there was a guy that I knew that was a big early dealer up in Kennebunk had changed to just mid-century modern. Did you hear about that? He only dealt in early furniture.
No. Oh,
Corey Daniels.
Yeah, that's who Corey I was going to mention. Corey, yeah, I stopped by. He's on Route 1. He has, what's his name's old place? Well, he shot his, his wife shot him.
This is good stuff.
It's
Kenny Bunker.
No, it's like in Wells, Arundel, but he has this very, very contemporary. Yeah, he used to be the early guy. He's into the very contemporary
Probably smart
sculpture.
Move, you know?
Yeah. In fact, I called him on a piece somebody suggested, but it wasn't for him.
Mm-hmm. Howard, what was it like in Hartford, and how did you end up in Maine? Now, you had a shop in Hartford at
had
one time.
Shop
your own shop.
I have you in Hartford, Connecticut, yes. So they call it the dirty window section. You couldn't even get insurance if you tried, you know, in the old sections of Park Street and the Capitol Avenue. It was actually down by the Capitol. And how I got, I used to come up to Dad's auction and buy and haul back. And one summer, we just vacationed up here. And the next thing you know, we bought a lot and built a place. And
you built this place?
No.
Oh, okay.
We built a cottage. In fact, we used to load it all summer at Dad's auction, and Jenny Hearn had the all-around shop.
Oh, yeah.
And up on Route 1.
Pokey Frost.
Yep, Pokey Frost and Pick, and then I'd get a U-Haul. And in the meantime, while I was gone all summer, everybody thought I was a teacher. Because I'd sit on the beach in between buying. But we had a fantastic group of kids in Hartford who would watch the shop. Nobody ever bothered the shop because it was their place to hang out.
So you mean that the shop was open?
The shop, no, it was closed. They had keys. The kids had keys to it, believe it or not.
Wow.
I trust. Oh, yeah, no. It's a matter of trust. You know, you can get along with anybody. And we'd go back. In fact, my son, we'd get a truck haul down at night, unload it, come back up, and be on the beach in the morning.
Now, in the podcast I did with Ed Nato, I mentioned that you told me you did a benefit. You do auctions.
Yeah.
You're both auctioneers. Now, you do...
just benefit sales.
Benefit sales.
Yep.
But you were helping out a church.
Oh, well,
you're Jewish.
That, yeah, you had that story backwards. Yeah. I do the Catholic Church here in York. I've been doing it now 5-6 years. And every year somebody donates beautiful rosary beads.
But you are Jewish, right?
Yes.
But you still help them out.
I have been, and I still
am. That's nice. You still are. Okay.
But I was up there, you know, I sell crucifixes, everything Christmas. We do it at Christmas, right after it's their Christmas sale, their Christmas bazaar. But anyway, they have rosaries, and I'm up there, and I'm holding up the rosary beads. They're beautiful, blessed by the Pope, got paperwork
Whoa.
And everything. No, this is,
oh, yeah.
I'm not making fun
stuff.
Of it. God,
yeah.
This is the truth. And nobody's bidding. I mean, and here I am, there's 100, you know, people, the Catholic persuasion, so to speak, in the audience. And like,
that's
I'm
pretty
a
shameful.
Yeah. Fish out of water. But everybody I come to find out has rosary beads.
Ah,
but
so
like I'm saying, I'm telling them, you always need a spare pair. So I kiddingly said, what is a nice Jewish boy from Brooklyn trying to sell rosary beads in a Catholic church? I said, am I in the wrong place? Am I at Temple Israel in Portsmouth or something like that? And everybody laughed, and I finally did sell them. But that's the story.
Oh, okay.
Each year, I've done it now 5, 6, 7 years. Every year, somebody donates those rosary beads with the paperwork from the Pope.
But you have trouble getting those
sold. Have trouble selling them.
How about that?
Yeah. It's an amazing, amazing thing. But they do sell. They do sell fine.
That's good stuff. So, Rick, you work for my dad, and then, well, you both work for me. You made the transition as soon as I took over my dad's business in 85 through 2000 or so, something like that. So,
I think you worked for me, too, for a while, didn't you?
That's right.
I helped you refinish furniture, then you worked for me in the grocery store for a while.
That's right. We went back and forth those years.
Yeah, so we've been together for a long time.
Entwined. Now, I remember you guys used to really be great workers as far as when we did on-sites. What do you think the most interesting auction was that you ever helped with?
I still enjoyed the Bartlett auction that you did over in... is it Kensington, Kingston?
Kingston,
New Hampshire. That was a very interesting auction.
Yeah.
And
that was quite a undertaking to do an on-site auction like that.
And of course, the first auction I've been to where the prices were what they were, you know. And it was quite amazing, the prices that you get on some of that stuff. So that was very interesting. We've had some other interesting sales where we've been in. I remember the Moulton Farm in Kittery.
Yes. That's right. That was great.
What a dump that was. But it has great stuff in it, though.
Yeah.
You know, but
it was
filthy. Oh, cleaning out that place.
Do you remember the one I did in Rye, New Hampshire, along near the beach?
That was another one, yeah.
Yeah, that was. They were going to throw all that. So they had dumpsters lined up to throw everything in. When I was there, I showed up and I said, what are all the dumpsters for? And they said, we're going to toss what you don't want. And I said, why don't you send the dumpsters away? And in that particular auction, I remember we were digging out things in the barn, and there was a blanket box, and it was full of mud or manure or something. We opened it up, and but there was a you could see like a silhouette shape of a knife. And I don't know if you remember this, but I got someone to dig out the knife. It ended up being a short sword, a revolutionary short sword, and it brought $7,000 that day. I don't know if you guys remember that or not. But that was an interesting auction.
Yeah. I remember the auction in the pouring rain over in
Kittery?
Rollinsford.
Rollinsford. Where they had the 1902 Cadillac.
The water was running right through the tents. It was awful.
Do you remember Bram the caterer's thing caught on fire, too?
Yeah. The one in Kittery had some water flowing down that hill, too.
Yeah. Yes.
We were on that in that cramped little space there.
Little tiny space, just barely get a tent up. The rain was pouring through, and the prices were through the roof.
Right.
They were through the roof, and then a neighbor called. I picked up the phone. Neighbor called, and she said, are you Willis? I said, yep. She goes, are you still running that auction in the rain? And I said, yep. She goes, I can't believe you're doing that to those people, and hung up on me. And it was the highest prices I ever got for anything. People just make it, you know.
You never know.
When it's adverse weather, the more people show up.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. Yes, in the snow, you know, that you're right. I mean, you schedule, and, you know, you'd sweat the storm warnings, and you get the few core, and that's all it took for the prices. You know,
that's right.
What do they say? It takes two
people. The serious people get through.
Two people to make an auction. Well, today it's all different. There you depended on site, and there were no phone. You know, very few phone or bids.
Hardly ever did phone bids.
Yeah, but there were some absentee bids from people, but none of the phone bid, none of the internet bid, none of the live. Today, everybody, you never know who you're bidding against, you know, a book. You know.
Now, years ago, my father had auctions at the Portsmouth, in Portsmouth.
Underneath. Yes. That's where I first met them.
I thought so.
Yes.
Yeah. I remember
the old A&P.
That's right.
At the Parade Mall.
Mm-hmm. Yep. There was an auction that my father had at the Parade Mall, and he found out when he called someone that they didn't get the flyers. Now, the flyers were stuck at the post office. Flyers didn't go out, and there was a raging snowstorm. He had an ad, a small ad in the newspaper, and then he called a local radio station, WHEB, and started having them announce the auction. Do you know the place was packed? It was packed, and there was like 2 feet of snow that night.
Yeah. That's one thing about Dad, though. He had a following. He had that following.
I guess the flyers, people received the flyers like 2 days after the auction.
Very helpful.
Yeah.
And now you're not knocking the mail system.
No, not at all.
In the machine.
Yeah. No, I am knocking the mail system. It's okay. Yeah, so there was a lot of fun sales. The thing that my father was known for, and I tried to maintain, was fresh merchandise right out of an estate.
Yeah.
And that's what made people come.
And no reserves.
No reserves.
I mean, that's one thing is very hard to find today, and, you know, that's a whole other subject. You could do a lot of podcasts on this, it's horror stories, you know. Unreserved. What does unreserved mean? You know, it's a, you know, when you drove, I drove, like I said, from Connecticut to Maine to go to a Morgan Willis auction, I knew I was going to buy something because it went.
Yeah, my father, if I remember, he hardly ever had a reserve.
And if he did, he would tell you that there was an item.
Yes.
He would say, this item, the family,
whatever. He actually announced his reserve.
Yes, and he would respect that item. But it was only one or two pieces out of maybe 200 or 300 lots, though. It wasn't 300 pieces.
And I got to tell you, he mostly didn't sell. When he announced that he had a reserve in something, he usually didn't sell it.
Oh, I remember him one day stopping an auction because somebody who had consigned stuff started bidding.
No, that was me. That was me. Yes.
No, it was.
I had you take over. It was a guy from California, actually.
No, this was a local guy that Dad.
Oh, okay.
No, this goes back to Dad because I know the guy and I still see him around today. But Dad stopped the auction and went and spoke with him and didn't sell another one of his items.
Yeah.
Stopped it cold. And that's honestly, which again, I don't think you really.
Well, see, people have ways around that today with the internet. You know what I mean? Someone can bid on their own item if they wanted to.
Right.
I mean, not legally, but they still can do it, you know?
Yeah.
But,
And then you just run it up. Mm-hmm. We had one. remain anonymous, nameless, but used to run it up when he had a left bid, which again is a. You know, when you talk about auctioneers, knowing that he had a left bid or an absentee bid, he'd run it.
You know, the thing, what I did with my absentee bids is I never knew a single absentee bid when I got up to auction.
That's good.
And I never knew what was going on when I got up there. I just had someone run the absentee bids. And I think that was
a good way to go.
Because it really gives people fair game, just like they're sitting in the audience. Yeah.
And you don't start it at the left bid.
Yeah. Well, I do recall one time, though, I did, a guy came and left an absentee bid on a rug, and it was a worn-out rug, and it was an on-site auction, and he called me up, and he said, "Did I get the rug?" And I said, "Yes." And he goes, "What do I pay for it?" And I said, "Oh, let me take a look here," and I looked through the paperwork. I said, "It's $50," and he goes, "Are you an idiot?" And I said, "Why?" And he goes, "I left an $1,100 bid on this rug." And it's just because I didn't know. I didn't want to know my absentee bids. Yeah. Now, Rick, I remember in your house you had a wonderful collection of early advertising. Do you still have that?
I have a lot of the smaller pieces still. I do have the old IGA wagon, delivery wagon. I still have that. A lot of country store type tins and advertising boxes and. A lot of bottles. In fact, we bought a collection of old bottles.
I saw them was it last year, right?
Well, did I see? We're still going through those, you know. But they sell, you know, because they're cheap. And people can pick up a bottle for $2 or $3 or $4 and they're happy, you know.
I think you had like 1,000 bottles.
Oh, we had a lot of bottles. Yeah.
And they were mostly what they call Doug bottles.
Yeah, and we didn't clean them either. As is. Take them just as they are. And milk bottles are still real popular. We've sold pretty much all the milk bottles that we had.
We used to collect Fiesta, didn't you?
Yeah,
Fiesta wear.
Fiesta wear is hot, and now you can't find it anymore.
So well, it's sort of new stuff. They're making it new, that kind of kills it to me anyway. It's like, so you guys help still help other auctioneers now that you're not working for me, obviously, in California.
Yeah, I work for Hatmore, and Howard works for
Steve
Bennett.
Steve Bennett, and Portsmouth.
Yeah, we both work for Dan Olmsted when he was doing auctions.
He hasn't had one for a year or so.
It's been a while now.
He sold his own collection, I remember, about a year ago.
That was the last one we worked.
Yeah, and I think he sold it perfect timing.
Before the whole crash happened, right after he sold.
And I had talked to him just after that, and he said, "Well, things weren't bringing what they thought they were, you know." I was running around different shops down in New Hampshire yesterday, and I walked into one along in Hampton Falls area, and I thought, wow, there's some great prices on some of this early stuff, but, you know, I don't know if it's great prices anymore. It's hard to tell. Right. You know, it's like I'm almost thinking, well, I should buy this, and then I think, well,
what are you
maybe
gonna do with
not.
It?
Yeah. You know, what is a good price today? Huh. It's that's why when you guys you have little risk in what you're doing.
That's it. We don't open. I mean, there's nothing lost. In fact, I put ads on Uncle Henry's, Craigslist, and in the Portsmouth Herald. And it, 1 week, I had a gentleman call. We had two bikes we took out on clean out.
Mm-hmm.
Raleigh, 3 speeds.
Yeah.
A Super B and a 2030. God only knows. I took pictures, put it on. Guy calls from Cambridge, Mass, which is about 50 minutes down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And he coming up. In what time? He said, "Well, I can't come up until the evening." So I said, "Well, evening, I'm an old man. You know what? It's the early bird special. I'm in bed at 7. He says, 10:30. I said, "I tell you what, the bikes are outside.
Uh-huh.
Leave the money under the rock and take the bikes." So he came up.
This was summer, right?
No. This was 3 weeks ago. He drove up from Cambridge, Mass.
Okay, I'm picturing snow.
No, there was snow on the ground, but it wasn't snowing that night. But there was snow on the ground. And he came up, and I went by the next day. The bikes were gone. I looked at the rock, and there was the money.
Wow. Tell me where that rock is.
No. We move it.
The magic rock.
No, same thing. And I had six chairs that we, remember, that we bought 40, 50 chairs out of an inn, and we had like six chairs left for almost a year.
Couldn't sell them.
Couldn't sell them. A couple of calls from Berwick.
But you sold the 36 other
ones? Oh, I sold them, yeah, right off the bat. But these six were the last of the group.
Were they the runts of the litter or something?
No, they were the same as the wall. They were metal chairs, metal, like Benwood style
ice cream pile.
Oh, okay, yeah.
They sat out there in front of the shop.
They're cursed.
A couple called, and I said, they're out front. I
said, you can have Where have they been?
All six of them for $20. They were gone. The money was under the rock.
Maybe you should just do business like that.
That's what...
You know, they have the honesty policy.
Don't laugh.
I mean, you can't really lose a lot, right?
We had prints. We must have had these Japanese. These were six Japanese prints.
Yeah.
And whatever prompted me, I put an ad in the Portsmouth Herald, a set of eight. We cleaned out of a house. We couldn't sell them for beans. Couldn't give them away. Mm-hmm. I put the ad, the guy calls up from Rye. At a clear sky.
So the online... Online is working for you.
Yeah.
Free online. Free online ads. Yes.
Yeah. Craigslist can't beat it.
Craigslist, Uncle Henry's, and the Herald.
Yeah. Uncle Henry's now, for the listeners all over the country, Uncle Henry's was a weekly...
still is.
It's
sell
a weekly
and swap.
Booklet,
magazine.
Like Sell and Swap magazine. And now they're online.
They have a free online service, and they've expanded down to Massachusetts in print.
Uh-huh.
You can... put in both places, but that costs money. And being as conservative Yankees that we've learned to be here, we don't spend any money. But it's free online, so I do take a minute. And the kids gave me a camera because they got a new one, so I learned how to take pictures and download them.
Mm-hmm.
We're entering into this high tech age, and I put the pictures on.
Yeah,
it's very interesting, and people do respond.
Now, so that's, it seems like everyone knows what Craigslist is, but there's some finds on Uncle Henry's. Is it UncleHenry's.com?
UncleHenry's.com, yeah.
UncleHenry's.com.
Yeah, you can go to the website, and it's still the buy, so they have everything.
Now, have you shipped from, like, if someone contacted you from there, have you shipped?
Yeah.
Because that would be important to someone, like, say, in Tennessee or something.
Well, they'll send anywhere, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, we priority mail UPS. I work for a company, so I have access to priority mail
books.
UPS. We ship books every day, so they're very good in that respect. But we do, yes, we had a clock, infamous story about that clock, but I shipped that and some other items, around. But
yeah. No, now, do you ever do eBay?
No.
I helped you out with eBay a little bit last year, and it didn't go very well.
Yeah, I'm not.
No, I'm not into it.
I'm not into eBay.
You're not into eBay either?
No.
Wow.
No.
Have you ever bought anything on eBay, Rick?
Not for a while, but I have in the past.
Like advertising or antique advertising?
Fiestaware. I bought Fiestaware.
Oh, you did? Yeah.
I bought some Fiestaware on it. But we're into the free.
Now, do the Fiestaware, getting back to that real quickly, the red, I remember the red said that there was radioactive material in the red. Is that people still talk about that?
No, nobody talks about Fiestaware anymore.
No, again, something? How long has it been since somebody's come in and asked?
Right.
But let me just tell you something. Here's a strange thing, because mid-century modern and Fiestaware work together.
Right. Yes. Oh, yeah. The colors.
So, but
designs.
People can, I guess people will buy it new just as easy, and,
Well, that's the whole thing. You know, again, dinnerware, China.
Yeah, way off.
Noritake, you have the outlets here. What's that? What's the outlet? What's the name of the China that has the outlet here? Very famous.
Lennox.
Lennox.
Yeah.
People don't know new from old.
And, yeah.
You know.
The new's very expensive, though. But I'll tell you what, the new at auction has no value.
But no, I know, but they can buy it with plastic.
What do you mean with plastic?
A credit card.
I meant the Lennox has turned to plastic.
Oh, no. Okay. No, that's another thing. It's we don't, people come in the shop and they pull out their credit card.
You can't take credit cards?
And I say, lady, do I look like I take credit cards? I mean, give me a break.
Yeah.
No, Rick.
No. We fly below the radar.
You could do PayPal, though. That would be very
easy. No.
No.
In fact, I had an instance here. You talk about shipping. We had a very unusual tool. We didn't know what it was. It was that cork corkscrew remover.
Corkscrew remover.
English corkscrew remover.
Yes. Yes.
I was reading in Unravel the Gavel. This is a true story. And some guy...
It's like 1898 or something like that.
Mentions this. So I, he's got his an email address. So I email him, and I email him a picture. And, I mean, you know, he would have paid more. But, again, we wanted $85 for it. We didn't know where that price came from. But we made a price on it, $85. And he bought it. But he sent me a check. Check from Bank America. So Bank America's all over. I didn't think anything of it. Go and cash the check here at Bank America. They want to charge me $5 to cash their own check for $85. So I sort of lost my cool in the bank.
Are you banned from Bank of America?
Yes, I am banned from Bank of America. In fact, they called the manager and he threatened to call the police. And I said, go ahead. I said, I
this is over $5.
Right here. Okay. Right here in York Village. I said, my name is Howard Coppell. I said, you just mention my name. I said, they won't even bother coming. I said, they know I'm crazy. I mean, I lost it. Here's their own customer, you know, their own check.
Yeah.
Because I'm
that's just the way it is.
That's the way it is. So when you say, you know, PayPal, credit card. But we do, getting back to the original point, was people will go buy that stuff because they can put it on their credit card. We, you know, we'll give them a cash discount, 50% or more.
50%. It's worth it.
Yes.
You know, I'm going to give you an idea. Why don't you throw an ATM machine in your place and you'll make $2 or $3 a whack on it.
Do you know
people can cash it?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, there's several nearby. We direct them down right to the... You
follow them to the ATM.
No, we don't follow them. They come back, fine. If they don't come back, all well and good. You know, we have an ATM in the police station now, open 24/7.
So you can pay those parking tickets.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, they go right in the lobby. Yeah. When you talk about that, that's a damn good idea. There's one in the hospital lobby.
Yeah.
But they're all over. And I have never, never, never used an ATM.
You've never used? You haven't either?
Never. Don't even have an ATM card, no.
No.
You guys are like way back in time.
We're dealing cash.
Yeah.
It's the old way. Your dad taught us that. You know, money talks and you know what walks.
Oh, my God.
Well, hopefully you got enough ammunition here to edit and put this together.
Yeah.
We can keep going.
Yeah.
I can get back to work. Come on.
Yeah.
I got to make a living here.
I know. Well, you're on salary.
Yeah.
So, wait. Let's
conclusion.
Conclusion now. So, Rick, you work for the town of York.
I do.
And you've when you sold your grocery store, you took a few years off, if I remember right.
Yeah, I went to work for you. And
and you did all kinds of things.
A bunch of different things. Got my school bus license, driver's license, and drove a school bus for fun. And drove the historic trolley in town for fun. And, then my wife got pregnant, and I had to get a real job. And So, 22 years later, here I am.
Yeah.
But he mentioned the pregnancy. Why don't he go one step further?
Okay, what's that?
Rick will tell you.
Go ahead.
So you don't edit this.
Well, it's because we have triplets that are just turned 22.
Yeah.
And
say that word again. They didn't catch it.
Triplets.
Yeah. I remember the day you found out about
that. That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
So, wow. And now they're 22. Yeah. How about that?
Beautiful, beautiful children.
Oh, yes.
Gorgeous.
ABC.
You got it.
Ashley, Ben, and Chris.
Yep. Beautiful children.
Yeah.
Grown-ups, my God, now.
And Howard, you're semi-retired here in York, besides...
I'm semi-everything. I'm lied for too many years. Thank God my wife left. I am semi-retired.
So
whatever that is.
You have a beautiful place here right near the ocean here. Just walk out your door and...
We're just across
the street, and you're right on beautiful York Beach, which is like a mile-long beach or something like that, by the Nubble Light.
That's before people learned the value of oceanfront.
What do you guys think the future is of, well, not necessarily your business, but in the auction business, antique business in general?
Well, I think the younger generation, for the most part, doesn't really appreciate the antiques of yesterday, I guess you could say. So I think it's going to be a smaller niche, you know, and what they consider antiques and what we consider antiques are two different things.
Exactly. And, you know, I got to tell you, just since you mentioned that, is where I work in California, every week I hear once or twice someone will say my kids have absolutely no interest in any of this stuff. hear it over and over and over again. You know, that may change. I've been thinking about this a lot. And there may be, like, another trend where all of a sudden it's cool to collect something old. And, you know, that may, I'm hoping it will revive.
Yeah. Oh, I definitely think if you look, you know, economics, socially, the curves, the highs and the lows, you know, everything rides, it rides a peak. Mm-hmm. It's just like, you know, the old furniture, you know, you got to know, what is it, Kenny Rogers, you got to know when to fold them.
Yeah.
It's that same way. You got to know when to change.
Well, I think we're just about at the end. It's been wonderful visiting with you two and talking about old times. And
well, it was fun.
And I'm glad you're keeping busy. Doing this as a hobby is so much better than having to make money out of it.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Every once in a while, we make money.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. No, we do. That's good. In spite of ourselves. And remember, folks, if you have anything to sell, call Rick Mace at Lost and Found Antiques, 207-752-4173.
I'll keep that in there for you, since you don't have our website. All right, everyone, this is Martin Willis with Rick Mace and Howard Coppell in York Beach, Maine, and we're all signing off.